The Vietnam War, it's over.
Your job's just begun.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of Spycraft. Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
These violent delights have violent ends. Join us as we break down episode set 10.
Sorry. Where you at, bro? Where you at?
I'm still trying to break everything down. As you can see, I'm breaking it down in my mind, and you will too with our guest, Lewis Hertham, next.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
That music can mean one thing. It is the season finale of Westworld Season 1. I am JC Rubio, and I'm not going to waste any time. Let us introduce the panel. There's so much to talk. Start with the lovely lady to my left.
Hey, guys. I'm Joelle Monique. You can catch me all over the internet at Joelle Monique and every week at blackgirlnerds.com.
See?
It's happening right here. There's a lot.
It's the end. You can't handle it. You're like, no!
And across the table.
What's up, guys? My name is Carrie Lane. You can find me online at Carrie D. Lane. And you'll find some cool pictures of why I got some fancy makeup. I had a photo shoot earlier.
Ooh, brag. Humble brag. Hi, I'm Dave Child. I didn't have a photo shoot earlier. But I'm still here for you.
And you're still lovely.
Thank you. Thank you. You can see why I'm so beautiful if you ask my parents. And you can find me at mrdavechild or davechild.com. Oh, God. Ooh, boy. We're at the end of the maze. In the maze.
Yes,
we found the center of the maze, guys.
Yeah. Real quick,
have we really found the center?
There's a lot of questions about that. Hey, thanks to everybody in the live chat. You guys are very, very vocal today, which I'm really excited about. So keep hitting us up. We're on here looking, reading, doing things.
Yeah, sorry. We're so excited. We're leaving our phones on.
We're so excited to talk to the chat room. We wanted to hear. Definitely chime in. Let us know what you think. And of course, coming up a little bit later, we've got Mr. Peter Abernathy himself, Lewis Hertham, joining us on the couch,
straight out of cold storage.
Yes,
going onto our couch, and we're going to talk about it.
Yes,
but first, overall impressions on tonight and the season. Did they deliver? I tell you guys, after this, I'm going to go home and watch it again so I can understand. There's so much. We talked before the show.
Right.
How they kind of really walked us through everything and really showed us the ins and outs. Were we satisfied?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, absolutely. Yep. It felt after, especially the way they wrap up episode 10, and we'll get into it, but it certainly felt like this was a prequel to what is going to be an entirely new direction for next season. Mm-hmm. And I cannot wait, because they straight went from a Western to tonight. You saw changes in music and lighting cues and even a little bit of performance here and there, where we're clearly going into a sci-fi direction. Mm-hmm. And I am so pumped about that. Bring me the murder and the red strobe lights and killing in the dark. This is so good. Such a good ending. even with predictable, even though we made a lot of accurate predictions as we've been following you guys along, you guys have made a lot of accurate predictions. I still felt good about the ending.
Oh, yeah, no. There's very few shows where you actually are satisfied to want to go back and watch it. Like, you'll be like, no, I saw everything. I understood what was going on. But this is a show where you're like, no, now I'd want to go back and see how I'd watch it differently, knowing where it's going. And, yes, we had many theories, and it was fun to see them get revealed, confirmed or not, because so many people are like, well, come on, it was proved this time. And we're like, well, let's just wait.
Yeah.
And then it was. And you're like, yes. So it has that nice sense of satisfaction of like, oh, good. I wanted to know.
Yeah, it was great to have like a definitive end on stories or mysteries, answers to stuff. I think everyone was kind of afraid the show was going to get very losty in the way that it's like, oh, we won't answer that question. Instead, we'll throw another hatch at you.
Here's a new polar bear.
Ooh, I was like watching this with a friend a couple weeks ago, and they kept saying like, this is like the hatch all over again. I'm like, no. No, it's not. There's a reason to everything. Mm-hmm. And it's it was, and I felt like I was like reading a novel the entire time. It felt where I kind of knew where it was going, but I wanted to see it get there. So I was happy when it got there.
So basically, Jonah Nolan and Lisa Joy delivered on what they said. They said, we're gonna time pretty much everything up for you and leave you to jump off to season two. Mm-hmm. And I think they delivered that in spades from A to Z. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
The only question I still have is, well, two. Where's Stubbs?
Yes! Right. I totally was thinking that all the time. I'm like, where's
And secondly, and he's coming in here in a second, where is Papa Abernathy?
Right. I mean, because they set that up. They set everything up with, like, that he was going to get all this information and be sent out into the real world for corporate, but we don't know where he is right now.
Yeah.
Also, what a samurai world. I think that's a big question, too.
We had somebody in chat earlier.
They said Shogun, which would be more encompassing.
Shogun world? It's S-World. Everyone's going to be saying Samurai World tomorrow.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
It's an easier, like, quick one to say.
Yeah, but I like the idea of Shogun World better because you have an actual, like, world to build on instead of, like, I don't know, samurai school and then, you know, some vengeance killings.
Sure. It looks so good. But this is the first reveal that there are other worlds outside of it.
Yes.
Also, we have, at one point, we'll talk about this more later, but Maeve gets, is told where her kid could be. Yes. And in it, it says, like, World 1?
World 1, Section 15.
Sector 17, Zone 3, I believe.
Right.
Yeah, so it definitely lends itself to being more than one.
Yeah, it means there's more than one world, which is a little surprising.
Which Xavier Lee brings up something interesting. He says he saw Donnie Yen's bus behind Ford's desk, which I didn't notice, but I'm definitely going to go back and check it out because I love Donnie Yen, and if he's going to show up, I'm just twice as in for next season.
Mm. I like the chat room. They said Eastworld. This was Westworld, so that'd be Eastworld.
You know what? Okay. That's a perfect segue for our first question for the fans. What would you like to name the next world? Ooh. If we're going to see an East World and S World. But before we go any further, I believe we have someone coming in.
Oh, hey. I don't think you're going to be actually seen on camera yet until you sit down on that couch.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Sit on the couch
here. Yeah. Have a seat. Thanks for joining us. We've
got
headsets
for you. Okay. Sweet. Yeah. Yeah, we even have a headset back there for you, which will be right behind you there.
Oh, okay, top one.
Perfect.
Okay, perfect.
This has all happened live, so definitely get your questions ready. Ladies and gentlemen,
I think you need to move to center of the couch.
Oh, okay. Just a hair to
you. You get the whole couch, sir.
Perfect.
Enjoy it. Great. Yeah. Okay.
All right. Okay. This man needs no introduction for any Westworld fan because basically you were the one who started it all for everyone. Ladies and gentlemen, we've seen him on Breaking Bad, True Blood, Murder, She Wrote. The man has been around for over 30 years. You've seen him in everything, but he's captured our hearts standing toe-to-toe versus Anthony Hopkins. Ladies and gentlemen, AfterBuzz TV, Westworlders, put your hands together for Mr. Lewis Hertham.
Yay! I'm excited.
Thanks. Everyone's saying, there's people saying, welcome, Dad.
Popper Abernathy.
My kids. That's your bedtime.
That hell is empty. Well, thank you so much. Thank you so much for coming in with us.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I'm just sorry I couldn't get here, you know, sooner, but scheduling, you know.
And you're a busy man.
Yeah, things are. Mm-hmm.
No, you don't understand. We've been back and forth trying to get you all seasons, but you've been to Columbia. You've been back and forth, but it's Michigan, and you're just shooting constantly.
You know, this has been a bit of a...
I think we're figuring out.
There we go.
Okay.
Yay.
It's been a little bit of a game changer for me. Oh, wow, there I am. There. Okay, I feel like I can whisper now. A little bit, anyway. It's been pretty remarkable. You know, it really has.
Well, and, you know, this brings in a very interesting position for us because right now we're starting the recap. Well, so
are you?
Yeah,
just starting.
Just starting.
Oh, I thought y'all would be like pretty well into it.
No.
There's just so much to go over.
Oh,
you
my
know?
God!
And we're like game plan. Like, oh my gosh, how do we just even tackle this? And then
I'm gonna take these off, or maybe not.
Do you? No. Whatever makes you comfortable.
Well, I mean, I can see y'all better with them, but sure. They're not glaring, are they?
No, not at all.
Okay.
No,
perfect. Yeah, I mean, you know, I have so much, you know, admiration for what y'all do, because to be able to watch the show once, any of these shows, and then come in here, and I mean, because my brain is just after every episode is just completely scrambled, and this one,
even you,
even me, yes, I mean, you know, because, well, you know, I mean, you've seen the show. I mean, I had pretty prominent part in the pilot, but after that, I mean, I don't get scripts if I'm not in it, and I don't even get scripts. I mean, I think even Shannon mentioned that, or she probably got scripts because she was much more involved early on. But you know, in this day and time, and it's not just this show; it's pretty much every show that I work on. You rarely get scripts anymore. Mm-hmm. If it's a show that's like really, you know, shrouded in secrecy.
Right.
It's very much a need to know basis.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good way to put it. And you know, with the you know, this time we're living in with the internet and everything, I mean, it's just too risky. I mean, somebody can put it out there and then, you know.
Yeah.
Especially
this show is like all about the water cooler talk, where it comes to just be like, okay, what do you think the show's about?
Yeah.
What do you, like timelines? Who's a host and who's not a host?
It's really remarkable. I mean, the genius of this show and, you know, Jonah and Lisa, it's just remarkable. I mean, they've created something that I, you know, in my 34 years in the business, well, 35 come next year very soon. I've never seen anything like it. I've never seen a show where people literally want to watch it 3 and 4 times.
Right.
And, you know, it's a puzzle. You know, it's such a puzzle.
Yeah.
But,
you know, and with that said, we also want to bring up the fact that, well, since we have you here, you're going to be our guest. You're going to break it down with us. So we're going to.
Okay.
So I think we may have your insight because, I mean, you were there for how many years have you been with this production?
Two plus. Yeah, we shot the pilot in August and September of 2014.
Okay.
Wow.
All right. Well,
so what is it like now to finally see it completed and really get to talk with friends and family about the whole process and everything?
Oh. Well, it's kind of hard to put into words, really, other than just, you know, adjectives like remarkable, amazing.
Right.
Because, you know, as actors, we you know, it's not an easy craft to, you know, succeed in. And you struggle and, you know, make a living. You know, I've been blessed to make a living for a long time doing it, but it's rare that you get an opportunity like this. And, you know, people have been very kind to me and the things that they say about my work and the pilot especially. And the truth is there's a lot of us that could do that. You know, we just don't get the chance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so I'm blessed to have had this chance. And then, you know, it's one thing to have a chance at something like this and another to be able to do it opposite one of the finest actors that ever lived, you
right?
know, who is totally. One of the sweetest human beings on the planet.
Really?
Oh, God.
That's so pleasant to hear.
Yeah.
Nice.
How excited were you when you got to all of the Shakespeare, like, such great, meaty words you got to do?
You know, I'm not a Shakespeare guy. I mean, I've done tons of theater, but I never really got into Shakespeare.
Okay.
And I did Shakespeare in class, you know, some classes because it was, you know, challenge yourself. And I'm like, well, I've never done Shakespeare, so let me try that. I'll be honest with you. I didn't approach it that way. I didn't approach it from the standpoint of, you know, I'm doing Shakespeare opposite one of the greatest Shakespearean actors.
Right.
I really didn't. I just took the words and how Peter wanted to you know, convey those words to this man who he came to realize was somebody that
I guess is I guess that brings me to my next question, which is like when you're trying to make a when you're trying to approach this as a host, as someone who's not actually human, is that why you did it that way, and are there other things that you did to kind of address that?
I think well, first of all, there were some other bits that didn't make the cut.
Mm.
in that that scene. And everyone, I obviously knew who they were. You know, I knew who the quotes were by. And if there were some that I didn't know, which there were, I looked them up and, you know, and understood what they were saying. But again, like the very first one when he says, you know, which is something that we revisit in, I think, episode nine, when you hear me in the background, you know, saying, right. You know, when we are born, we cry, we are come to this great stage of fools. And that's the first line you see me say in the scene with Tony, as he likes to be called, insists on being called. Such a humble man. I think if I had have tried to have been Shakespearean, right. You know, and so forth, it would have, I just completely forgot about that and just thought about what the words mean.
Yeah.
And then when I do the sort of, you know, I will have such great, you know, such revenges on you. It was just about, I'm just saying the words. I'm going to have revenge on you. And So I don't know if that answered your question.
It totally does. We felt it and it was powerful. Okay. I was wondering, did you watch the episodes as they came out after that then? Or did you get a sneak preview? Was it new for you tonight?
Oh yeah, it was completely new for me. Every episode is new. And,
you were behind, weren't you, when you went to Columbia, right?
I was. episode 8, I did not see till I came back because they don't have, or the hotel was a lovely hotel, but it didn't have HBO. And you can't get HBO Go out of the country.
Yeah.
Right.
So I'm like, and that was the episode where, you know, Peter gets downloaded with all this this information. So I was kind of curious, but you know, I was offered a chance to see the pilot. When we came back into production, they invited me to come see the pilot several times, but honestly, I turned them down and I just said, you know, I think I'll wait. But I didn't think it would be so long, first of all.
Right.
And I was hearing, I'll be honest with you, I was hearing such nice things about the pilot and everything that I was scared I'd prove them wrong.
Oh, no.
Well, I mean, every actor, you know, it doesn't matter. You know, every actor can watch their work and go, You know, I once met F. Murray Abraham years ago in the late 80s. We have a mutual friend. We went to a Raiders football game together. Sweetheart of a guy. And I asked him, I said, what was it like? You know, he had won the Oscar not long before, a couple of years before, for Amadeus. And he said, I don't remember it. You know, I don't remember being there, up there, and accepting. Right. I have no recollection of it. And I said, well, what did you think about your work in it? And he went, some of it I think nobody could have done better, and other parts I could barely watch. And this is a man that was absolutely freaking brilliant. You know, so that, and when I think about that all the time, because it's true. I mean, even in that scene, I can see a couple of things that I would have done differently.
Right.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's hard to walk away.
Y'all know.
Truly.
Yeah.
Truly.
Yeah.
Couple requests / questions from the chat room. One, what was it like to work with Evan Rachel Wood?
Oh, sublime. She's incredible. She really is. And she's such a sweet gal, and the subtleties in her work, like that scene. Well, one of my favorite scenes in the whole pilot is the scene where I tell her, you know, I am what I am because of you.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it touched. I have a 12-year-old daughter, and she's like my life, and so when I see that scene, it just really. You know, I think we had, you know, we worked very well together. And then, so that, you know, I think she's extraordinary. I really do. And I think her talent is, and y'all have seen tonight, right?
Yes.
So absolutely.
Holy smokes. Yes. I mean, what she went through, you know, tonight, I mean, in that episode alone, I mean, poor darling. I mean, she had to go home and slam some shots at the kill. But, yeah, it's just, like I say, just, you know, it's amazing. Every one of the actors in this show is just incredible.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, let's come back to more, but let's break mm-hmm. down what we're here for.
Yeah.
All of tonight's episode, and first of all, with the reveals. Let's start off with William in Black, I'm calling it.
Yes, okay.
Finally.
The longest told, like,
totally confirmed. We got
set. Yeah. This has been like a, so like, I'm curious from your perspective, because we're people that are like, in this world of theories and being theories being thrown at us and like talking about it, so like we couldn't avoid not knowing this. Yes, please slowly strip.
Yes, I'm used to it.
Yeah,
I'm used to being naked in front of people.
Sure.
Oh my god.
I mean, that was most of so like for you and this William Man in Black reveal. Yeah. At what point did you guess it? Did you ever guess it or what?
Well, I mean, There was a scene that was shot that was not used that I was in.
Can we talk about that?
I mean, it's in the pilot, right?
No, it was not
but
in the pilot.
It wasn't aired. He said it didn't air.
It didn't air.
It got cut.
It got cut. And
why'd you ask that question? Just let him say it.
I'm sorry.
Well, I don't know that. I mean, but let me just say this: it would have answered a timeline question, I think.
Okay.
And you know, now that I've seen it all, it really wasn't necessary.
Right.
Okay. And I get that. Yeah.
Is
you know?
It you interacting with either William or the Man in Black, I guess?
It was interacting with Rachel. In a different timeline.
So you kind of knew because of that scene.
I knew that. Well, I didn't know when I was shooting it. I knew that it was a different. Well, put it this way.
He's doing the dance.
We see Peter. We get flashes of Peter as a professor, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, in 3, you see that little shot of him, me taking the hat off, and then in 9, you hear him and see him fuzzy in the background. There was another character, that was from Peter's past.
Oh.
Right.
So it probably would have just confused people a little bit more.
Okay.
And again, I get why they didn't do it. So I would get little clues, like when I first saw Evan on the show dressed a certain way.
Okay.
I went, okay, you know. But it didn't give me the William thing.
It
just gave me some timeline issues,
right.
You know, matching up some wardrobe and stuff like that. But the knife, the first time, I mean, the knife was a dead giveaway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The shirt was a giveaway, but not, I mean, that wasn't definitive. Mm-hmm. I really think for me, the knife, when I saw the knife, that's when I knew for sure.
I feel like a lot of viewers felt the same way last episode. We were like, I see these handles. I know exactly what's going on.
And also all the, like, old school hosts that we see during that point, too.
Yes.
It's going to help.
And actually, another giveaway is the pullover you brought in. You're wearing right now. It has the old Westworld
logo
on it.
The logo.
Do
you know that I only realized that not too long ago that it is the old logo
the old one.
As opposed to the new one? But they gave us they give great gifts, you know. And there's a black sort of hoodie, well, like a coat, raincoat, and it has the new logo. I'm pretty sure it's the new one, that one.
Okay.
You know, the...
Right.
How cool is it that logo is so easy to make with the typing, with the W and the two slashes?
Yeah, that must be one of the reasons why.
I know.
That was probably like the first logo that they did. It was like, we can't use that, but we can also still use it.
Yeah.
As a hint.
Yeah.
All right, now I wanted to open it up to y'all. So we, like you said, we live and breathe this stuff for 2 months.
Yes.
And we felt it coming, and a lot of people on the street did it.
Mm-hmm.
Were we happy how it was handled?
I was going to say, sorry to jump in there, but we had this exact, and I think you brought this point up. I talked to a friend just the other day. I'm like, so the Man in Black and William, same guy. And they were like, what?
What?
They weren't blown away.
I see people's eyes go like,
I watched it with my roommate today, and she was like, this is a crazy reveal. I'm like, we've been talking about this for weeks.
Yeah.
And I mean, I know I was holding out, and a couple of us were like, well, maybe not. Yeah. Because I wanted it more 100%, because the show has kind of been like, maybe, maybe not. But yeah, totally 100% had the same friend reaction, like, wait. We've been talking about
it. I almost thought it was like so clear that they were going to show us something else.
Yeah, at this me too. Point.
Oh, like we were going down that road.
And then they're like, ha!
And then it was like, exactly. One thing about this episode was like, I realized, oh, they're gonna draw this out. They're going to draw this out in this episode, which at first I was kind of annoyed by, then as it went on, I was like, okay, it's not so bad, because I think they're walking everyone through exactly what's happening. And for such a confusing show, to have the finale be like, this is how the timelines work out. Like, this is how everything works out.
And I think we do get some, like, resolved issues, where I think a lot of times when you already know what's about to happen, they just reveal that, and you're like, well, that was boring. But here we get a lot of his emotional, like, reasoning behind his decision-making. And it really fills in that character of William Chu, Man in Black, really well. So it worked for me overall.
Oh, yeah.
It was the journey, how they handled it. It handled with such care. It was so fleshed out. I mean, very easily we could have said, oh, this is how it happened. But they took their time. It was in between a showdown between Dolores and Man in Black. How kick-ass was that scene to see a woman kick some ass?
I just wish she had gone through all the way. I was kind of disappointed when Teddy showed up. I was like, no. I wanted Dolores to take care of it herself.
Yeah. I wanted her to roll over and then shoot him. I'm like, she can still shoot him from the ground.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. You know, sniped her, but just But I just read an article where Ed said he was coming back next season. So
And I think it's important. I think it's important for him to come back.
Yeah, he does. He does get shot.
She can shoot him later.
That's right.
Yeah. You did say next year, right? So
I'm sorry.
You said next year. Ed's coming back next year. Are we talking 2017, 2018?
Oh
I know we said it was 2018, but
I have no clue. Yeah. I mean, I'm not. You know, I'm really not privy to much more than you guys are, you know, other than what I know is transpiring in the show, which, you know, leads me to believe certain things, you know.
Sure.
But I did read an article that Ed, and y'all apparently read it too, that he said he would be back next year.
Yeah. I thought for sure he was going to kick it this episode. And so I was surprised when he didn't. And I kind of felt like, for some reason, I kind of knew it was going to be either him or Anthony Hopkins, because I felt like you can't have both of them for like two seasons. Yeah. And so I was wondering, but I thought for sure it was going to be Ed. And then I'm glad he isn't, because I'm fascinated by his story. And now that we know it's William, I want to live with that a bit longer.
Sure,
like, I was hoping for this reveal sooner so we can exist in that, because it's great to see, like, this relationship that started off with someone basically saving a princess and then not breaking from that and turning into such a terrible person for that princess. And just, it's...
Yes.
And seeing her kind of become a person that's not someone who needs to be saved.
Yeah.
And also doesn't need to be put on a pedestal.
Let's talk about great acting moments. That moment when he realized he can now be hurt in the game, which is the thing he's been talking about since day one, of like, I'm bored here, I can't be harmed.
It's the one thing he's been waiting for.
Yeah, and he finally gets his wings. He's like,
yeah.
Game on! Like, I'm ready! And I was like, yes! I want to see him play this game. Like, I want to see... Like, he's been so badass and ruthless, but he's right. Everybody's been kind of neutered. So now that people are fighting back...
It's what he's been wanting. Yes. It's like them to fight back and to be able to harm the humans. I mean, that's...
And get that kind of Viking... I think he's still going for that Viking death. I think he kind of wants...
Yes.
Wants that, like, to die in battle.
Fight. Sort of a fight. Running... Yep. You know,
I wonder
theme,
if
isn't
him,
it?
I wonder if this will take him back to being a white hat, though. If now that people can remember and there are actual consequences, because we know he lives as like this kind of puritanical guy outside of this world. He's like diligent in his work. He helps cancer patients, like all this stuff. Uh-huh. It'd be interesting to me that now that there are actual consequences, if he gets back to his white hat status or if he continues to stay on this track.
Oh, good point.
That's great.
Good question.
What do you think happens to Logan?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I just feel bad for him.
He just rides naked off of Lady Godiva.
I think he's meant to be just like, oh, he got crazy at Westworld. We can't put him in the...
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, kind of set up. And I do like also, as we're talking about the Man in Black and Ed Harris, he's searching for the maze. He's mm-hmm. searching for the middle of the maze, and he thinks it's something meant for him mm-hmm. and a secret for the players of this game. And the fact that it's not meant for him, the fact that it was so like delicious. For the hosts, was so oh, great yes. because it's like, listen, dude of privilege, it's, not everything is for you.
This yeah. maze is not meant for you.
Yeah, it's and like this constant. Is specifically this is specifically something that was meant for the host to gain consciousness, yes. which we kind of predicted and yeah. kind of yeah. thought that it was a road to sentience. And but I thought part of me thought it was going to be a switch. I talked about how maybe it was going to be mm-hmm. like a golden ticket, Willy Wonka yeah. type thing, where mm-hmm. he has the ability to turn on the switch and mm-hmm. make everyone's consciousness.
We kind of did get that a little bit in Ford, like that last conversation he and Ford have mano a mano. And Ford is like, oh, well, you know, it's going to be what you want if you drop by. Like, I've got it in store for you. And the fact that they get on the same page, like, right at the end there, is so weird yeah, to right. me. I don't, it's like a shift in Ford that I, that was what surprised me most. That shift in Ford's personality. That. I'm like, what is even happening here? I'm still trying to process it and understand it.
Okay, so then are we at odds? So was Ford good at the end?
I would still say Ford was not good.
He's setting the board and all those people up to die. I'd probably go with
basically
not
set a mass killer no, after that.
He said Ford said it himself. It is quite complicated. He said it throughout the whole for the greater good. He had to do what he had to do.
Who's greater good
for the hosts? He was someone who like realized that. What Arnold was doing, which is they've created life. They've created mm-hmm. Frankenstein's mm-hmm. monster.
Yes.
And it's they have to take care of it. They have to hone that. And unfortunately, in order to do that, a lot of other real people have to die. So it's
I don't see how that equates. Like I don't see we just pull the project or like I decommission all the hosts. Or, like, we take the host to a secret island and, like, they're not alive. The hosts are not sentient. We learned that.
They are.
One host is sentient.
Okay, I've got a suggestion here.
They've had a handful of them over the years.
The panel is split, and the onus we're putting it on, of course, our special guest. As you can see, Dave and I are of the inkling that you have to do what you have to do. Mm-hmm. I believe Carrie and...
To be fair, I don't think you should kill people in order to save other people. I'm saying this is where Ford was coming from. And I think
that doesn't answer as... Okay, was he good?
Well there is no good or bad. There's grays.
That's it. Yeah. I mean, that's it. Yeah. There's your answer. I mean, there is... You know, it's so gray. And we don't know when this is. You know, and I've listened to many of your podcasts. I don't know if I've heard all of them. But, of course, we know that... This is a time when all disease is eradicated. Mm-hmm. We can keep people living mm-hmm. longer. And so Ford says, I mean, is this as good as it's going to get? So we don't know when this is. We don't even know where it is, really.
Right. On the moon.
Still calling it. You think it's a moon?
I think it's on the moon because of one episode where Stubbs says, what do you think? He's got moon madness? Ha! He's on the moon.
Oh, okay.
That's
well,
the only reasoning. It's the reference. Only thing.
One
reference to moon madness.
I think it's Earth, but I think it could be
like way future.
Way future. I mean, when will it be that we have cured all diseases?
Yeah.
One of the fans actually asked something. 171 Jimbo Slice asked, "Is Ford coming back as a host?"
I was one that was championing a theory of like Ford is a host because I thought that they could be. It could show off the singularity by it's just robots making robots.
Well,
but I don't think he's the host.
Now that we know Dolores can harm humans, we don't know.
Right.
Yeah. Right. I don't know. I mean, I haven't heard any scuttlebutt about, you know, Anthony coming back or not. Mm-hmm. So I have no idea, but certainly is possible.
I assume he isn't because of HBO's track record, and I think he's kind of the Ned Stark of this.
Yeah, I was going to say,
So, like, what I love about him is that at first we thought he was someone who was too connected to these hosts, and then we thought he was a psychopath. We thought he was mm-hmm. someone who had no empathy or human understanding of human emotions at all, and that this was just a big experiment to push people's buttons. And now we see it's kind of a little bit of both. You know, it's mm-hmm. someone who's he's totally connected to these people, and that's why he's totally killing off all these. He doesn't really care about humans.
We've
as
talked
much
about
as the other
doing
ones.
The rewatches. I'll be really interested to go back mm-hmm. to some of Mr. Hopkins' scenes where he's, especially where he's like trying to instill in Bernard, like these are just hosts. Right. And now I feel like we're going to get a lot of duality in that inside mm-hmm. that performance of him trying to convince mm-hmm. himself that like detach, like these are not people.
And that's yeah. the brilliance of, as Lewis says, Tony Hopkins acting.
The chat has also started Tony calling Robbins. Him Tony, which I find adorable.
Who is?
Yeah. The chat.
The chat. Really oh, yeah. Well, let me just say, when I first met him, Jonah introduced me to him, and I'm pretty sure it's Sir Anthony Hopkins, and he goes, call me Tony. But he tells that to everybody. He's truly one of the most humble men I've ever met.
You know, and you actually sent out a great tweet about a month ago that was talking about Anthony Robbins acting in the show by, if you guys check it out at home, it's called Nerd Writer 1, I believe, and it breaks down the scene between he and Teresa in episode 4, and
yeah.
brilliant.
Yeah.
You have to see it. Nerd Writer 1, check it out. I guarantee you guys will
yeah,
love it.
It is really fascinating.
You know, we should actually throw a petition out to Nerd Writer to actually explain your scene, how you broke it down as well, because like we said, we've talked about it over and over. That was, like you said yourself, I think in an interview about a year ago, that was the pinnacle of your career.
Up to that point. Up to this point. And I've said this before, I mean, I certainly don't, you know, I want, you know, my career to continue for as long as it can. But if it were to end today, I got that.
Hell yeah.
That's the way I feel about it, because truly, I mean, I don't know, 10 hours or whatever, it was all day, because the scene was longer, and it was just the most extraordinary experience to sit knees to knees, you know, opposite man, and look into those eyes of his. I mean, when you watch that scene, and a couple of people, I mean, people have said things about the scene, and, you know, made comments that, you know, made me feel a little uncomfortable, you know, about, I can't even really say it, but, you know, about how the scene went and my performance and one of them, I will say, you know, things like you stole the scene, and I'm like, you don't steal a scene from Anthony Hopkins. He gives it to you.
Yeah. That was his gift.
It was a gift. Yeah. I mean, it truly was. When we auditioned, a lot of people auditioned for that with that scene. It was very different, but it was the scene with Ford going through the. And pretty much everybody that was going to be a robot auditioned. I think men and women just fashioned differently.
Wow.
And so when I got the part, I, you know, had read that he was playing Dr. Ford. And in the script it says Dr. Ford. And I went, you know, oh, my God. That scene is with Anthony Hopkins. And you have expectations, but the very first time I met him, that just like that, he, you know, it just allayed all my anxiety about doing the scene, literally, immediately. And then when we sat down and did the very first take, which was sort of a master over my shoulder on a dolly, you know, he goes, and I, you know, I had to give 100% for everyone because the cameras were everywhere, and I wanted to give 100% for his coverage too. Mm-hmm. And after the very first take, he goes,
oh,
you know, and it's like,
gotta feel good.
Okay, let's do this. It's on. You know,
You know, and speaking of powerhouse performances by all the cast, I'm going to hold off on Dolores, her time frame and line, and let's jump into Maeve and Maeve's escape.
Yes.
Joel, take it away. This is your girl.
Oh my God! Not only do I love Maeve, but I love like anytime we're like going into sewer systems or lower levels and like ripping guns off of people and blowing off body parts, like that's my full jam. Like that is everything I want. And then to watch Maeve construct essentially Maeve pulls a Michonne in here and gabs herself two bodyguards, two people she knows she can trust, and programs them to just kill everything in sight. And it was so good, because Snake Lady is, I think, one of the most underutilized characters in this
season. Yes.
And her little twist at the end, if you guys didn't watch past the credits, I definitely suggest you go back and give that a quick quick 30 seconds of your life because it is amazing. Is there some great odes to Terminator in there? And it gets me so hyped for what's coming up for season two.
You mentioned Michonne, and I thought it was kind of a little bit of an homage when they come walking out of the woods.
Oh, totally. End, yeah. You know? Yeah, totally.
Well, even when we were watching, we just adored the moment where Snake Lady, I'm like, this is an easy way to describe it.
Yeah,
when
she
first legit high-powered gun, and she's like, yes, this is awesome.
She heard the look of like, oh, what? Yes. Oh!
I had to say around 30 shotguns and like, fire each one.
So like, it just was so organic, and you believe that enthusiasm, and then, I'm blanking, what's the gentleman's name with her?
Oh, it starts with an H.
Felix?
No.
Or Sebastian?
Rodrigo?
Hector.
Yeah, Hector.
And him too, like, this is amazing. Like, let me get to.
We're having to go, you know.
No
this
more slow mo anymore.
Yeah, there was so much going on in this scene, and I think that was the high point for the levity in the whole episode because we have moments where we have Felix thinking he's a host and she's
How about him? How about those guys? Give a shout out to those two guys. I never can say his name right. Sal, he's a good friend too. I mean, or you know, he's become a friend. But Felix and Sylvester, they did such a great job.
They definitely carried the comedy for a lot of the season, which was frequently necessary. Where you're like, I need to laugh because this is heavy.
Well, what I found really interesting in the end, because we kept questioning Felix's motives and like, why is he doing all this stuff? And so at the very end, when Maeve is telling him like, you're not really a good human, and I mean that as a compliment.
Yeah, that
was like, okay.
Yeah, because when she first says that, you know, I mean, my first reaction was like, damn, girl, you know, he's like, give him a little love, man. He's like, took care of you, and then she goes, that's a compliment, and then you go, that's what this is all about, right? You know,
what's your take on that? I'm gonna be honest. I feel like those characters were the hardest. Were some of the hardest ones to swallow in the show because they went along so easily and the one scene that made me love him so much was when they brought up Bernard and they rebooted him and she was like, oh yeah, he's a host, and then he just goes,
he's like,
am
I? Yeah, it's like
he starts like doing the robot for a second and she's like, No, you're human.
Yeah. Right.
And he's like, oh, okay. Because I feel like that was maybe like, is that why I keep doing this?
Yes.
Is that why my reason?
Yes.
I think
you got a great point. I think that's probably one of the, if you had to pick something that was maybe the hardest thing to swallow, that those guys would, you know, succumb so easily to them.
Making a really bold statement about the American worker and just this idea that once you get into like that assembly line factory kind of work, that it becomes just repetitive and you just do kind of as you're told.
Well, for Felix too, though, Felix obviously was messing around with the little bird and he had, you know, so for him, and you could see his struggle at times, you know, like when he was supposed to erase her and then he doesn't. And, but you know, Sylvester is just like, you know, just loose cannon that, you know.
Well, he had a side business too.
So. Yeah, he did. He did.
Also, this is finally when we see other people in the office notice when they walk by.
Yeah. I know.
Because we talked about how often they walk by glass doors and everybody's just doing their business. But finally, when they're trying to escape, people in the offices are like,
they look at the footage for the first time and was like, we should really have someone just watching this.
Yeah.
Let me
tell you that it is all glass. I mean, that set is huge and it's all glass. So you can...
You're just that excited.
Sorry. You can see through the whole thing. You know, you really can. So it... You know, suspension of disbelief.
Yeah.
We got to mention one more thing about Maeve real quick. When she... Larian's... Oh, my gosh. I just lost it, guys.
Programmed?
Yes! She's programmed. Yes.
Someone programmed her?
Well, who do you think did that?
I'm assuming it's Ford.
Yeah,
me too. It's Ford. Because
interesting.
We found out in this episode, especially, that Ford is, like, just the chess master and has all these chess pieces.
Now, the question is, she was programmed to escape... But was she necessarily programmed to come back?
This was the thing. Yeah. This was the thing, because when Bernard was going through the list of what of what she was programmed to do. She said, and once you're out in the real world, you're supposed to, and then gets cut off.
Yep.
Yeah.
So we know that she was at least supposed to go out in the real world.
Yeah.
So when she decides to come back, that's actually her breaking her programming.
Yeah. Yes.
And maybe reaching the end of her maze.
Which is why I have a counter theory to this. I think it's Charlotte. I think Charlotte's getting a second host just in case her first host is too damaged. Because they've been...
To get out?
Yeah, because she needs a host to get out so they can have the programming because she's...
So you're thinking that's Maeve?
Or no? I think she already took one. I think she's using this one as a second one. I don't think...
You mean Charlotte's using Maeve to get out?
Yeah, Charlotte wants Maeve to get out so she can take her programming and have the stuff that she needs.
But then she didn't, so... But then that was
because
the moment...
Because she gained sentience.
Where Ford was doing the speech of, like, well, that's the choice they're going to make, and Maeve made the choice.
Yes, that's where I'm going with, because if you look at the pyramid, and that's where that missing piece was self-doubt, reflection, and with metaphors, and then figuring it out, and she chose to stay.
Yeah.
To fight the fight.
And especially since a lot of the Charlotte...
Go for her daughter.
Yeah, and especially a lot of the Charlotte-like plans seem to involve a lot more kind of espionage and not a full-out war, not a full-out army. No. While that's more of Ford's thing to like actually kill
people
on the way out.
But didn't really do anything other than get out.
Well, except for bring out those two warriors who killed everyone.
They killed a couple of lower-level people. I feel like they swept a lot of murders under the rug so far.
The two that were brought up? No, they killed so security many security guards.
We're going to count like 15 maybe, max.
Well, that's more than 10. 15.
Oh, wait.
And then, sorry, real quick. This is, we can get into it later, but the thing too is like, one, the security was finally watching the footage and going, oh my goodness, there's stuff going on.
Yeah.
So is there better security now? Because where is Stubbs?
Where is Stubbs?
Because that...
We still don't know where Stubbs is. The Indians got him.
Exactly. He was lost on the outside. So I'm like...
Or Elsie.
Was he not doing a good of a job that, you know...
Don't know for sure.
Yeah.
And honestly, we don't know where you are.
We don't know.
Yeah. That's
And who's controlling Peter wherever he is? Is he... Because he was in that cold storage bin that's empty.
Yeah.
Now, when Sizemore comes back, I mean, I was in that very same cold storage unit.
Yeah.
And so everybody's gone. So I'm gone when he comes to get me out, to get me on the train. So who's controlling me? Is it, am I part of Maeve's group or Charlotte's
and
group?
And you're also someone who has uploaded with all this data.
Right.
So how is that going to affect your character?
And apparently not too much gray matter for the character.
I think this means you still have a job. I think that's what this means. I'm pretty sure. I'll be surprised.
It would look that way. It would seem that way. But.
Now, you as, because not only are you an actor on the show, but you, from what we're hearing, you're also a fan.
Oh,
so,
are you kidding? Rabid.
Where would you like to be? Where would you like Peter's character to go?
Well, and I really don't know.
Right.
Yeah, so, this is all speculation.
Yeah, it's total speculation. Well, he has all this knowledge, and as they stated, as Sizemore said, I gave him a semblance of, or whatever he said, because she said, you just have to give him some semblance of a character and see that he gets on the train.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then he comes up and he said, I even amazed myself. He said, I gave Abernathy a somewhat of a character, although... something like it was tough with all your blackmailing, So my feeling is that he's not going to be too bright a guy, he's not going to be, or his character, there's not going to be a lot to his character.
Kind of like we got Clementine in the last episode.
Maybe so. Maybe enough to carry on in the real world, but who knows?
Do you think, though, that maybe this information that's logged into your brain will create kind of a similar situation that Maeve had, where you're going to be able to control or have a bit more knowledge than a lot more of other people?
Quite possible.
I know. It's quite possible.
It's all pretty...
Yeah.
It's pretty fascinating. But I'll tell you something that I'm still questioning, and I haven't heard a lot of people talk about it specifically. Maybe y'all have. But... we know where the picture came from now.
Yeah.
And we see tonight how the picture got loosed from the pocket.
Man, and it's been 30 years blowing around.
30 years.
Yeah.
Blowing. That's true.
Yeah.
But what is it about the picture that threw Peter into, I mean, it's right. Logan's sister, William's fiance at the time, yeah. wife of 30 years. You know, why did that picture throw him into that tizzy? Other than the fact that he didn't recognize, if it's just because he didn't recognize, because he says, where is she? You know, and see something that's completely unrecognizable to him.
Right.
I guess that could be it. But and the first time we hear those violent, these violent delights have violent ends is Peter, yeah. you know, saying to his daughter, saying to Dolores. And
that we also find out in this episode that's the last thing Arnold says before yes. he's shot in the head.
Yes.
So, like, that's how right. did
and then that and then
you?
Bernard says it again just before
mm-hmm. yep.
Ford is shot in the yep.
head. So it's something that's, like, lingering. It's, like, it's there, and so it's meant to come out. I have I got a feeling there was a theme of inevitable awakingness that's will happen no matter what. And what Ford was trying to do was give it enough time for it to emerge and yeah. also to give it enough space and its own and to be, like, tied away from stuff. That's what I got the feeling.
Well, he kind of said that. He said yeah. that to Dolores in the end. Was it Dolores or Bernard? There's so much that I'll watch afterwards. That that they needed more time to put up yeah. the fight. Remember that towards the end to put up
he
the...
He said that to Bernard.
And he also said
Ford
that...
Ford said that to Bernard.
Yeah, and he also said that suffering was very important yes. to the memories yeah. and the awakening, and that a lot right. more suffering will have to happen in order for them to
yes.
to come
yes.
through.
I yeah. think that's very profound, because I think in life that, you know, suffering really, you know, I mean, let's face it, you know. What yeah. are you looking at?
I'm sorry.
There's a light above your head.
Well, someone asked a good question.
Yeah.
Oh, they're questions. I got you.
When will we find out what Bernard says in Peter Abernathy's ear before he was yes. putting cold storage?
Well, did he actually say something to you?
Yeah, that's good. Oh,
really? Hey, Julia, can you hit an AfterBuzz exclusive?
No, don't do it.
Well, let me just say this. I guess we can say this stuff. That, by the way, guys, was my very first scene.
Wow.
No.
Welcome to Westworld. Get naked and walk through 50 other naked people. When people, somebody actually tweeted that and said, what was that like doing that scene? And I said, you know that dream we all have? That's what it was like.
Was it better because there's so many other naked people too?
Yeah, it really was. I mean, within 5 minutes, it was like, eh. You know,
yeah.
it, you know, because, you know, yeah. and those extras are pretty remarkable. I mean, they're just like tween. They're just chatting, you know, standing naked, chatting, you know, yeah. like no big deal. And it was kind of, you know, yeah. off-putting at first because, I mean, being the first day. But, oh, so.
I was going to say, you're distracting us with a lot of nudity to get away.
Yeah, from yeah no, I'll get back to that. So,
yeah,
yeah. I guess it doesn't matter, but I the very first take, I asked Jonah, I said, you know, I mean, I know what had happened to me, even though mm-hmm. it was the very first scene of, you know, Welcome to Westworld for me. Mm. But I said, do you want to see, you know, like nothing? I mean, is he lobotomized? Is he just like, you know, 1,000-mile stare? He said, well, let's start with that. And so I did. And if you listen with earbuds to that scene, you can hear what he says to
me. Oh, okay, snap. So everyone just go back and do your homework.
Because I know what he said.
Exclusive.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it's because I know what he said. So instead of spoiling it, I'm going to just tell you guys to put your earbuds in.
Yes. He did it?
No, no.
If you put subtitles on, it just says whispers.
But let
it doesn't actually
hook.
Say what it is, because so many times if you can't really hear it, subtitles
will
be like,
"Whoa." I will tell you this. I will tell you this.
Okay.
Because I don't know. It's kind of, you know, there's so many people asking that question, I almost hate to answer it. But so Jonah said, you know, just do it, you know, kind of straight. No, so the very first take was just like nothing. And then he said, okay, bring a little emotion, you know, after what he. And so he said the same thing to me as he did the first take. We did three takes. And then on the third take, he said, now, you know, he's going to say something to you, and, you know, let's see, let's, you know, I said, but just the eyes, right? I mean, no, he goes, yeah, just, you know, just emote. And so he said the same thing, and then he added something. So there are people that have guessed it. There are people that have guessed it.
I'm going to let you off the hook because basically what you're saying is we should go home and rewatch it and to that scene with earbuds and it will give you the answer.
Turn it up. And now there was a lip reader.
You're going to make a lot of people deaf.
I don't want that to happen.
Turn it down after you hear it.
There was a person who said that, you know, said that they read lips as I recall, they didn't get it as right as someone else did. Someone, like, nailed it.
Right.
Mm. And but let me just tell you this. What could make Peter so emotional?
Something about Dolores, I'm guessing.
You would think.
Come on.
You would think.
We can play this guessing game all night long, but we're gonna go home and watch it and turn up the volume to, you know, you'll get my bill from my doctor.
Okay. No, but it's very quiet. It's the music, you know, that wonderful music is playing, and then it's very low what he says, so it won't, like, blow your ears out or anything.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Well, then let's get to who this is all about, Dolores.
Right.
Let's talk about her arc, finally, where we satisfied on how she found out everything.
I mean, her performance throughout was just stunningly beautiful.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, but honestly, that change, right when she comes up behind Teddy and she's like, nah, son, I got this. I was like, Dolores is new! Like, this is a completely new character, and I'm so excited to see
Everett's
change and the decision she makes coming forward. Yes.
She's, like, taking care of him. Like, I got you, Teddy.
Yeah, don't you worry, boo.
Do we call her Dwight? Dwight?
No, not Dwight.
No, Dwight. Because that's a regular name, too, so.
Dwight.
It's Dolores.
No.
One thing I loved about this episode was we saw her, we kind of saw a micro version of her entire arc throughout the entire season. In this one episode, in a way that was done very tastefully, but it was also, it kind of, you saw her go through these again, and you saw her be someone who needs help to be saved by a man, and is hoping to be saved by a man, and then realizes that she's not going to be saved, and then she's becomes her own savior, and she becomes her own person, and realizes she can do it herself. And fulfills a destiny that was kind of required of her.
Well, that's the whole thing. This was my journey of meeting myself and finding out who I should become.
Right.
So
that was the maze. Yes. She got into the maze.
I did want to ask you guys really quick just about the name Wyatt and choosing that name. I think it must have specific reasoning. I know it means hearty war. Translated, break it down to its original. But I also wonder if the, like, ideas of Wyatt Earp are sprinkled in there. That mythology of... Like, Wyatt Earp is not the guy that you see in the movies. Like, he was kind of like this, like, in the movies, if you haven't seen any Wyatt Earp films, there's a ton of them, but he's always, like, reluctant to put on the sheriff's badge, and he's got to do a lot of the dirty work nobody wants to do, and he, like, skips over, like, the law. He's like, we don't have time for courts, we just got to get in there and do it. But in real life, Wyatt Earp was just, like, a scringy cowboy who happened to meet some Hollywood folks who were like, we could probably spin these tall tales into pretty good movies.
Right.
And sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say, but he's the hero. He's the hero of the story. So I think by being Wyatt, it shows that Dolores was not just the damsel in distress, but was actually Wyatt Earp, like the hero of the story.
I think it says she might have a little more duality than we think. I don't think she's going to be a straight up white hat. I think it's going to be
messy.
Well, no one. I mean, and no one's really white or black. Really, it's just going to be like a gray area.
Yeah.
But I think for the hosts, she's going to be the leader. She's going to be like.
We'll see how long that lasts, because Teddy was not looking too thrilled in the corner over there.
No, but that's why she comforted him. It was like, I got this.
Yeah. I mean, after, like, as he's watching the chaos go down, he has that same look he has when they originally did the killing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Rebus was real happy, wasn't he?
Yes, yeah! He was.
Which made my whole soul happy, because a lot of people know him from Grand Theft Auto,
right,
where he plays just the most craziest person, Trevor, and he's so good in
He's
it.
Trevor.
He is Trevor. And
you didn't realize that?
I didn't even realize that.
To see that Trevor Cox smile, I was like,
yes,
I'm just ready for some murder.
That little smile was so much. Yeah. He was like, all right.
And of course, you know, he's on Walking Dead, too.
Yeah.
You know,
so. I recognize him from Walking Dead, but the fact that he's Trevor, which is... I think Westworld is like a walking video. It is Grand Theft Auto.
Red Dead Redemption.
Well, Red Dead Redemption.
So the fact that there's Trevor in there is even more astounding to me.
Oh, we have a guess as to what the quote is. Jan G is saying, for now? Oh, we got it! Thank you, Jan G. I really appreciate you scratching that itch. Thank you so much.
Wait, what is
That's the last thing he says, for now.
For now.
And
in the cold storage unit.
Oh,
yeah.
Like Dolores now, is okay for now. Like
well, here's the thing. And since someone guessed it, that, you know, the take.
That's true. Which take do they use?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. See, so they used another take.
Ah, because it. Mm-hmm.
That mm-hmm. where he said, you know, I think. Because if she can figure that out, okay. it's like so long, old friend, for now.
Right.
And but on another take, that last take, he had Jeffrey mention, you know, Dolores, and we'll take care of Dolores. So.
Right.
Because, I mean, you know, it's all about Dolores.
Yes.
It's all about Dolores.
No, wait, are you saying they had your coverage and the other shot as two different takes that melded together? So, like,
that's what it appears
to
be,
and your facial reaction. Okay, because that's really interesting as well. Because if they tell you one thing and your reaction is for the completely different take.
Yeah, but I don't know that they expected people to necessarily.
But you get know. That.
But I know. I mean, like, you know, the thing is that he, to elicit the response, the reaction, and I don't remember exactly if the three of us talked about it or if he just said, you know, Jeffrey's going to mention something to you, you know, and let it, you know, move you. And so, you know, it did.
Absolutely.
You know.
Thanks again to Jan G for getting that out.
Yeah, thank you.
Way to go, girl.
All right, so any final thoughts before we start talking about, we're going to have a few minutes with Lewis and have the fan open it up for fans to ask some questions along the way. But
I just wanted to bring up really quick the idea of the final chapter, Ford's final story, Journey Into Night. First of all, the reveal of this story broke my whole heart.
Oh,
like, I had to sit all the way on the floor. I was like, oh my God, no! Are they just people or not? No, they're hosts. But go ahead.
Sorry, I was going to say, someone asked in the chat earlier, like, how did they get there? And I'm like, no, that was their whole journey of getting to the ocean where the mountains meet the sea.
Mm-hmm.
And then she dies there and then reveal, like, that was some good planning to make that perfectly.
Boy, no kidding. I mean, that was, like, mind-blowing. That's one of the most surprising things of the whole show for me. That and how about Samurai World?
Yeah,
is that what that the S and a W Samurai World?
We're calling Samurai or Shogun.
Shogun World.
Either way, it looks amazing.
Well, because like even if they didn't time that right, it'd be funny. Ford's like, oh, crap, they're not on time. Like
that also,
man, I got this gala going on. Where are they?
Yeah,
she's not dying fast enough.
That also means Ford is manipulating not only the host for the story, but was also the Man in Black.
Oh, easily.
And at least the Man in Black, if not other, like, human characters. He knows enough and what to do to manipulate people. And if he controlled Maeve, he also used them to do that, too.
Do you think he manipulated his own death the way that...
Yes, sure. I believe so. I think he was saying goodbye to...
Went out in grand...
Exactly, go on a blaze of glory.
Yeah, just like...
Just like Bernard.
Bernard.
Yeah.
And, or Arnold.
So Ford isn't building another version of himself in that bunker underneath?
Somebody brought that up in the chat. That's a good question, who the body is.
My favorite potential future is Bernard in like 30 to 40 years building a Ford host. I read that earlier today and I was like, I am there for that story. I will read the fan fiction of it.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think Sir Anthony had a great time doing this show, so I really do.
And he did a stunning job.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. That scene when Teresa bites it.
Yeah.
Chilly. Anyway.
Well, so, you know what? Why don't we do this? Let's talk about, right before we go in the interview, I know we got to start wrapping up a little bit here, but give me one of your favorite moments of the season overall.
Oh, Jesus.
And just,
just
keep it quick. And
this almost should have been asked last week so we could prep. I'd be like, yeah.
I'll give you guys a second. How about, you know, as always, your scene was the start where I knew I want to see this show for the next five seasons. It really was the catalyst for all of it.
Thank you.
Along with that, my other scene that I adored was Maeve when she came out with Felix for the very first time, and she makes it up top, and she sees Discover Your World in the music playing, and you see them being killed. She sees them. She sees the host in pieces, and then being created again. The beauty and the fragility of life, and she's witnessing it for the first time. The way it was done, the music, just the movement of it. That one always will. That will always resonate with me.
My favorite moment also takes place in the pilot, and it is the shootout, from score to like showing that they could handle like great classic Western material. To the reveal of Snake Lady, who again I think is the most underutilized character throughout the series. Armistice is so freaking cool with all of her guns. And then you even get that like little love scene between Maeve and Hugo?
Hector.
Hector, thank you.
Yes.
It had everything I wanted out of this series. And it was just done so fantastically and so gory.
I think that's when the pilot just really just went, you know, downshifted and up. You know, and took off.
Yeah. How about you? Well, let's ask. What about you? What's as a fan?
Wow. Mm. Well, the shootout. I liked the shootout a lot, but one of the scene with Sir Anthony and Ed and Teddy. In the bar.
Oh,
I mean,
because
that was a
good one.
It was such a revealing thing, you know. And I found it, you know, those two guys, every one of their scenes together, which weren't many, but like when he showed up in tonight's episode and surprised him and he goes, well, hey, Robert, how am I doing? Oh God! You know, like you say, there's so many of them, and of course, trying to think of one now,
it's
like
tough.
Completely scrambled.
In your
my
description,
brain.
Though, what you're saying is, aside from the Western, the sci-fi, the gore, the violence, it's the interaction. It's that dialogue that's creating the world, creating the story. That's what you found most intriguing. It's those
Absolutely.
Little moments, and that's what's going to propel us to keep us interested for those next 4 to 5 seasons.
I was going to say when Dolores and Bernard, when we finally learn the Arnold switch of that room and what those conversations really meant, that was like, all right. Because we've been waiting for that so long of like, maybe not. How's that all tying together? But I agree with some of the people in chat of like, I feel from the beginning I was interested, like just wanting to see where the show goes because it would tell you information, but not like give it all away.
Yeah.
So it's nice to see little nuggets of info dropped along the way. And then finally at the end, you get enough wrapped up that you're like, okay, good. You answer my main questions, but then you're like, so what happens in season two?
Yes.
I will tell you another, cause I got to do a shout out to Jimmy. The scene between he and Evan in the train and in the train scene before they, you know, kind of hook up there and everything, there's the lighting on her too. I don't know if you recall this specifically.
Yeah
I mean she's stunningly beautiful. I mean she's literally has a perfect face, and the lighting, I was so struck by the way they framed it. She looked like a, you know, a 40s style movie star.
It was very ethereal.
It really was. And, you know, and I, you know, his, you know, Jimmy Simmons' work in this, I think, is just a revelation, too.
I feel like everybody should have known, like, oh, he's going to go bad. But, like, because he does it so well and so frequently. But he played the good guy so clean and great up front that I was like, no, this is just something new for Jimmy. And then I was like, of course.
Yep.
And then, of course, anything that Jeffrey Wright does, I'm going to watch him read the phone book.
I was about to say, like, the Bernard reveal was kind of my favorite one. God. The one that was like...
Oh, the first one or the second one?
The first one where he's revealed
Learns
to be a host. Where he's revealed to be a host because you see him... This is someone we've known as, like, a human the entire time.
Yep.
And just to see him all of a sudden switch into host mode was just, it was eerie, and it was it was great.
One last moment, just the Frankenstein moment, which you pointed out to me, was like so obviously Frankenstein in the pilot when you have all the blue lightning and they're like creating life and you're like, this is gonna be next level. Like, we don't have like a lot of great science fiction on TV. You get it like little bits here and there, but with the HBO like production and budget, it was just so beautiful and stunning. I love this show. Yeah. It's so good.
Well, with that said, let's sit and talk to Mr. Lewis Hertham. So what else we got going? I mean, aside from robbing our hearts, make us fall in love with you.
Thank you, buddy.
What else you got in the pipeline? I know you got that Downward Dog. You got so much stuff going on. So
Downward Dog. I did an episode of Downward Dog, which is a new ABC show that'll come out next year. And smart, funny, 30-minute comedy on ABC. You know, it's about a talking dog and, you know, it sounds, you know, maybe silly, but it's just smart and funny. And, Allison Tomlin, and I play her dad. I hope they got that right. I'm a little sleep deprived and under the weather.
You just got out of cold storage. So.
Yeah, exactly. That's it.
Just got de-thawed.
Not only that, you're leaving us tomorrow at 6 a.m. You got to go to Boston. You're doing a movie as well, right?
So I am. I'm actually going to finish a film that I started before I went to Bogota.
Wow.
Called Cadaver. It's a Screen Gem film with Stana Katic and Shay Mitchell and... Nick Thune, and we're having fun, so I'm going to go finish that. And, you know, before that, I was in Bogota doing Narcos, the third episode of season three, which is another great show.
Yeah.
I'm very fond of and a fan of. And let's see, before that, I did Training Day. This is a new, it's a new Bill Paxton show on CBS, I believe it is.
Great.
Is it a takeoff on the film?
It is.
Okay. Nice.
Very loose, though. Very loose. Antoine Fuqua is an executive producer, but Bill Paxton sort of plays the Denzel character, and then a young up-and-coming guy, Justin, not even sure. He's brand new. I mean, they found him on stage in Chicago. Amazing break for him, and he's a terrific kid. So it's based on it, but it's not, you know, that same kind of dynamic that was in the movie of this really bad cop. Bill's character is the son of a criminal and he became a cop because his dad was killed by a policeman who became his father.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So. That sounds amazing. So many twists.
Yeah.
You know, and where can fans, you know, keep up with all your works, everything that's going on, keep in contact with you as well?
On Twitter, Lewis_Hertham.
Nice.
At Lewis_Hertham, I guess is the way you say it. I'm kind of new to all this stuff.
You got it.
I got a fan page on Facebook, Lewis Hertham.
Definitely. You know, and I wanted to, you know, of course, thank you for taking your time before you got to fly out, but...
Glad to do it.
I want to honor the fans. The fans actually said we missed something, and I know the engineers were driving them crazy, but they wanted us to break down the final scene.
We did talk about it briefly.
They said they wanted more. I know.
Crazy shootout. Lots of people die, and and Man in Black got shot in the arm, but he's not dead. And
he's also
cold
got
storage
a broken.
People...
He's also got a broken arm, so he's got a shot in one arm, and I think he's got a broken other.
He's got a wing in this arm.
And cold storage people come out of the trees.
Yeah.
And Dolores tells Teddy we got this covered.
And Charlotte was going through a lot of emotional things. Yes, I'm hoping we'll get through. That I didn't quite understand, but I'm like, her character is clearly going to be coming back and doing a lot of stuff. Yeah.
Don't forget about the Radiohead on the player piano, too.
Yeah.
I think it's exit music for a film.
Yeah.
But it was that was beautiful and it's and a good recurring theme seems to be Radiohead on the player piano and how he set up exactly where Bernard was when he was shot and it was displayed in front of all these elitist people that are all there and so I'm curious about what can we talk a little bit before we go about where do you think season two is gonna go because what my feeling is there are now humans in the park that need to survive and or escape. And then there's also hosts that are trying to defend their world and try to kind of revolutionize it, but also still discover sentience. Because we only have a couple, handful of people, but we get the sense that all of Wyatt's gang that's met in the past are all on the sentient or at the end of the maze themselves.
And then how does it work exactly? Because a couple of times it's like the sentient host will tell another host, like, no, really, this is what's going on. Mm-hmm. And the secondary host is kind of like, wait, what? And yeah. it's like they have to come to it on their own terms.
I think we're going to be entering a civil war of people trying to fix / keep the host inside versus the host trying to be free.
Get out, because they want to, like Babe said, I want to see their world. So
I love that she tries so hard to get out and turns around and goes back.
And I think we're also going to get a much harder sci-fi / horror look next season, which they so perfectly nailed at the end of this season. I cannot wait to see what they do with
it. The question is, do they pick up right there?
That's
or like 9 to 10. You know, there was a little bit of a
dying a little. Maybe like a week later or something.
Yeah, I also suspect we're gonna see at least Shogun World or maybe another world.
We better.
And I think they're gonna use that world in order to get into Westworld or get out of Westworld. That's my guess.
That could be really cool.
Is it's kind of a transitional.
Yeah. Maybe that's why she had to be by the water. Yep. That was the movie's way in. Maybe. The rivers connected them, so maybe it's like underground.
Maybe there's underwater world.
Lastly, I want to leave it up to the fans. What do you think will happen in season two? So, guys, I think we're going to get the hook because we've been going. So I think we're longer than the episode.
We've been for a long time.
There was a lot to talk about.
Engineers, you're beautiful. Yes. Sorry.
Thank y'all.
Final shout out to Lewis Hertham. Please give me a round of applause. Thank you.
You guys, man. Great job. Thank y'all for being fans, and your podcasts are amazing. I'm truly one of the reasons that when I was asked to do this, I'm like, absolutely, because y'all really impressed me the way you can watch this thing once and come in here and speak so intelligently about it, because like I gotta watch it like each episode a couple of times. And yeah, so bravo.
Thank you.
And you're welcome back anytime. Definitely about your many projects to come, so
thank you. I'd love to come back.
Final goodbye, everybody. Guys, thank you so much. Now, cue the music, Juliet.
You can find me at MrDaveChild on Twitter or DaveChild.com.
And you guys can find me online at Carrie D. Lane. That's KARIDLANE.
Hey, guys, I'm Joel Monique. You can find me everywhere at Joel Monique and every week at BlackGirlNerds.com. Follow me this week as I go to the premiere of Star Wars.
Woo! Yay!
A lot of fun.
Wow, that was fast. A quick shout out to Juliet, our engineer tonight, and to all the fans on the chat roll. We couldn't do it without you. Thank you so much for tuning in. Hopefully we'll see you sooner than 2018. So for our special guest, Lewis Hertham, Dave Child, Carrie Lane, Joel Monique, I'm JC Rubio, and we'll see you next time. Have a deep and dreamless slumber.
There you go. Nice.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!